Tsai.
Spend the day with Tsai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving sidearms and greetings from Prashant Nilayam, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. A warm welcome to all of you to today's Thursday Live. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I'm Raghu from Team Radio Tsai. You are tuned to Asia's stream of Radio Tsai Global Harmony. Well, the time right now in our studio is 11:12 a.m. And today is 3rd of April 2014. Well, the climate here at Ashram is quite warm. The temperature right now may be about 33 degrees Celsius, and the forecast, weather forecast says that the temperature will go to about 41 degrees Celsius in the afternoon. So it's quite warm. Well, it shows that the summer season is all set here at Prashant Nilayam. Well, to begin today's segment, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at the lotus feet of the voice and the listener of Radio Tsai Global Harmony, that is none other than Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So as I said, dear listeners, this is a segment Service Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Well, yesterday I met Mr. Prakash Rao, sir. He is from Andhra Pradesh, and he contributes a lot to Radio Tsai Telugu stream. So I just was talking to him about service to society. So he told me one or two instances of his experience of being involved in service activity. So it seems once he, along with other Swami's devotees, had gone for blanket distribution service activity. Well, just to let you all know what is blanket distribution service activity, this is one of the service activities that Swami's devotees are involved in. In this, what they do is, in the winter season, Swami's devotees go with new blankets late in the night to platforms, railway stations or bus station and streets, and find genuine people who are lying in the streets on the platforms. So these genuine people, very poor people, they'll be lying in the street in the chill of the night without proper covering. So they'll be shivering because of cold. So these Swami's devotees, they'll go to them and put the new warm blanket on them. So this is a blanket distribution service. So once when Prakash Rao sir had gone with his team to a place late in the night, during the winter season, so he said this is what happened. He was going with another gentleman who was new to Bhagwan and also to the service. So when they were distributing blankets, suddenly the gentleman asked, "Sir, it seems like we are distributing blankets. Will Swami know about what we are doing?" And then Prakash Rao sir said, "Of course Swami knows. He is omnipresent. He is always there with us. He knows what we are doing." Then they found a person lying, sleeping on the platform, and he didn't have a proper covering, and he was shivering with cold, but he was in a sound sleep. Then this gentleman, he had a new blanket, and they thought of covering his body. So this gentleman wanted to wake that person and let him know that they are giving the blanket. For this, Prakash Rao said, "No, don't do that. We should not have the doership. Let's just put the blanket and go away." But that gentleman tried to wake that person, but that person was in a sound sleep. He didn't get up. He didn't wake up. And so they put the blanket on that man, and they were just returning from there. When they had just walked a few steps away from that man, after that blanket was covered on him, he just turned his side from one side to another in his sleep itself. And when he was turning in his sleep, he just told, Sai Baba, Sai Baba. So he was chanting Swami's name in his dream. When the gentleman saw this incident made him realize that Swami is always there. He is omnipresent, omniscient and omnipotent, and he knows everything, and wherever service activity is done, he knows that good things are happening. So this incident was enough for that man, for that new gentleman who came to Swami's fold newly, to realize that Swami knows everything. In fact, sir told another incident in which during the blanket distribution itself, it seems when they were doing blanket distribution, there was on a platform or a street, there was one very poor person, and it was late in the night and it was very cold, winter season. That person had covered a blanket over his body and he was sitting somewhere. So Prakash Rao sir saw that man, and he also saw that blanket which he was covering covering his body. But that blanket was torn, and then Prakash Rao sir identified that that blanket was given to that man the previous year. So this Prakash Rao sir and his team went to that man with a new blanket, and when they were giving him the new blanket, then that man said, see, I have this blanket which you people gave me last year. There is one more person, and he showed to that person. He was lying just few meters away from him, and he showed that person, and he told Prakash Rao sir that, you please give the blanket to him. I have this blanket. Then sir and other people asked him, hey, you have this blanket but it's fully torn. Why you don't want to take a new blanket when it's offered to you? Then that man said something which is really profound. And it's a take-home lesson, beg your pardon. It's a take-home lesson for all of us. He said, see, this blanket, even though it's torn, it's given for me by you, Swami's devotees. So it's as good as Swami himself has given to me. And Swami is embodiment of love. Swami always says, love all. So when Swami says, love all, and he has given me this blanket, and today I am wearing it, shouldn't I emulate at least 1% of what Swami says? At least when I am wearing this blanket, shouldn't I love my fellow being to whatever extent I can do, to whatever capacity it's possible by me? So I want you to give this blanket to that person who is lying there without a proper covering, shivering. Well, dear listeners, these two incidents were really touching for me, and I was really tempted to start today's segment by narrating this incident. In fact, Prakash Rao sir has been involved in service activities for many, many years, and yesterday, in fact, I had requested him to talk to us, to have a conversation with him. So I'm sure in future, in one of the episodes of Service Love in Action, he is going to come and talk to us about his experience of being involved in service activity. So, dear listeners, the time is 11:20 a.m. and it's a warm day here at Prashant Nilaya Ashram. Well, if you are there with me last week in this segment, Service Love in Action, I had played for you a conversation with the sister Neela Made from UK, and she spoke to us about her involvement in a medical camp which was conducted from 1st to 10th of August last year in the country of Kazakhstan. So today in this segment, I'll be playing for you a presentation, an audio presentation, which was actually done on 2nd March 2002, and it was the program was done marking the 100th day of Radio Sai Global Harmonies broadcasting, and it was named as Satyam Shivam Sundaram. So today in this segment, I'll be playing for you a part of that program which is entitled Service to Poor. So let's listen to that presentation. And the presenters of this program are our own Professor G. Venkatraman sir and Brother Ravi Kumar.
Swami often says that his life is his message. He started giving this message to humanity long before he revealed to the world that he was Shirdi Sai come again and that he was nothing short of the Lord incarnate.
There are two basic components to Swami's message, the purely spiritual and the absolutely practical, if one might say so.
Not everyone might be able to understand all the fine nuances of the spiritual part of Swami's message, although the core of it is quite simple.
The core of the spiritual part is simply that man is divine. And in a sense, the practical aspect flows from this core.
The practical aspect is service. Service to all, especially those who are in need of it.
There is a popular misconception according to which service means service to the poor. That it means one must go to slums or villages or ghettos or whatever, clean up the place, give medical aid, food, clothes, etc.
It is true that all such work does constitute service and they all are very much required in today's world. However, the spiritual implications of the word service go far beyond and much deeper too.
Swami alone has amplified this in extraordinary detail. The starting point is that in creation there is both give as well as take.
The tree, for example, receives sunlight from above and nourishment from the ground below. It thus receives a lot, but in turn it also gives, and in so many different ways.
The tree gives fruits. It provides shade. It converts carbon dioxide into oxygen. And in the end, it offers its entire self as wood.
Not just that. As Baba reminds us, the tree offers its fruits to the very persons who stone it. That is perfect equanimity. All are alike, and there is neither any special friend nor foe.
Krishna makes it very clear in the Bhagavad Gita that every entity in creation must be in harmony with the totality of creation.
That means that every entity in creation must give back, even as it receives.
God has made sure that all but one of the entities, both living and non-living, do precisely this. Scientists would say that non-living entities like the sun, the moon, and the stars obey laws of nature, while the living beings like plants and animals follow encoded instincts that have emerged during the evolution process.
All these are elaborate ways to avoid saying that there is a moral law governing the universe. The universe runs according to dharma, which is the very form of God.
In this complex interlinked cosmic gear chain, man occupies an unusual position. Amongst all beings, he alone has the ability to choose whether to follow dharma or not.
Thus, man can either follow the cosmic dharma as it applies to him, or he can totally ignore it and go against it.
Those who follow the senses get dominated by the attractions of the external world. They then automatically become selfish and greedy and cringe on giving, though they are very eager to receive, if not grab. In short, such people readily violate dharma.
This upsets the cosmic balance and in turn gives rise to the growth of adharma. Incidentally, the pollution of the environment that lately has become so much a matter of concern is due to this one single reason.
Seen in this perspective, service is not just the haves giving the have-nots, but the discharge of a cosmic responsibility.
That is the crucial point, and that is what marks the difference between various NGOs rendering service and Sai devotees doing service.
NGOs like the Red Cross, for example, render very useful social service. There cannot be any question about this. However, all such activity is generally motivated by considerations of pity.
Pity is a feeling that one who is quote higher up unquote has for one who is quote lower down unquote.
In spirituality, there is no such thing as being up or below. On the contrary, when one serves the poor, one should feel that one is actually serving God, who has donned the disguise of a poor person.
Seen in this light, service becomes an offering to God and not a charity handout.
That is why Baba stresses very often that service to man is actually service to God. That is also why in the Sai family, we never use the word poor feeding, but always say Narayana Seva. What it means is that when one engages in Sai service, one must not see a poor old lady or a destitute or a cripple or whatever. Rather, one must always see God, but donning a disguise.
And as one spiritually advances, one evolves to the state where one begins to feel one is just serving the universal self. That is, the self in a person is serving the same self in another gross entity.
Offering itself is Brahman. The one who offers is Brahman, and the sacred fire into which the offering is made is also Brahman. He alone attains Brahman who, in all his actions, is fully absorbed in Brahman.
Yes, everything in creation is from God, of God, by God, and for God. And that, in a sense, is the implication of the famous Brahmatmanam sloka that we all chant before meals.
In short, the word service in Sai's dictionary has a very rich and deep meaning.
But of course, not all can be expected to understand this. So, Swami just gets devotees started on the path of service, which, to start with, is performed just like everyone else. However, side by side, Baba keeps on explaining the spiritual nuances so that in due course, devotees begin to see the service they are rendering in a larger context and indeed in a universal perspective.
To sum it all up, service boils down to doing one's dharma. That really is the bottom line.
To love all and serve all is one's dharma. Thus, as Swami often says, if one offers with love a glass of water to a thirsty person, that is service. In fact, it's a better service than writing a big fat check and driving away. In this world, says Baba, kindness is far more scarce than money.
In this world, one has to give in order to balance what one receives from so many and in so many different ways too.
The word service also carries the subtle implication that we do properly what we are supposed to do as a part of our station in life. We must discharge our duties with honesty, sincerity, with devotion, and as an offering to God.
Swami drew pointed attention to this aspect when he visited the capital city of Delhi a few years ago. He emphatically declared that service does not mean that one has to pick up a broom and sweep the villages. It simply means sticking to the ABC of Karma Yoga.
It means that every salaried employee, for example, and Delhi being a government city, so to speak, is full of such salaried employees. Every salaried employee must do precisely what he is paid for. Swami added, if your salary is 10,000 rupees, you must actually do work worth 10,010 rupees and not just 10 rupees worth of work, as is often the case.
After that somewhat lengthy preamble, let us get down to specifics and take a brief look at a little bit of what Swami has done and is doing in order to inculcate the proper service culture amongst devotees.
The first thing that Baba did, and he did this decades ago, was to form a service cadre or corps. This was done by setting up the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization. In fact, when it was formed, Swami declared that he himself is the first sevak.
Amazing, is it not? He who has no duty, yet talks of duty. That is what Krishna too says in the Gita.
And lest we forget it, Swami is often heard saying, that is my duty, or you do your duty and I shall do mine.
Starting from quite modest beginnings, the Sai organization today has blossomed into a vast network spanning not only the whole of India, but all the five continents.
To try and describe the service that Swami has done and is continuing to do is to attempt a task impossible even for the gods. So the maximum we can do is to give you a few samples and let you get at least a whiff of the divine flavor.
Swami is all the time serving someone or the other, in some manner or the other. His main aim being to give ananda. That in fact ought to be the basic objective of service.
Swami emphasizes this very often. In fact, he also gives frequently a practical demonstration. For instance, on festival days, dozens of boys go around distributing prasadam. Swami watches all this closely. Yet he would walk over to various people, young and old, and ask them, did you get prasadam? He very well knows that they have got, but yet asks, why? Because when that question is asked, the joy of the receiver gets doubled. The receiver feels that someone really cares.
Yes, it is these delicate divine touches that make Sai's service unique.
One more specific example relating to giving ananda is worth mentioning here. Whenever Swami travels from Whitefield to Puttaparthi or the other way round, there is one small village on the road where a villager waits ready with a tender coconut in hand. Baba's car invariably stops for this man. The villager then slices open the coconut and offers the drink to Bhagwan. Swami smiles and waves the drink away. Yet, Baba thrusts a 500 rupee currency note into the hands of the villager. Swami, of course, never sips even a drop of the coconut water, but he always pays the villager for two good reasons. First is to make the man and through him his entire family happy. The second is to set an example of genuine large-heartedness.
Sorry for that digression, but the story was just too good to be omitted. Getting on with the topic of the Sevadal, Baba has provided many examples of what sort of service it ought to render and also how.
In the 70s of the 20th century, a disastrous cyclone struck the coast of Andhra, causing heavy and extensive damage. This is the sort of occasion when the need for service is at its highest. Swami promptly put the sevadals to work, deputing Kasturi to oversee. This is the account that Kasturi has left behind for us. A terror-striking cyclone had hit the Andhra coast. The cyclone brought in its wake a tidal wave 7 meters high that spread itself over a large part of the coast and penetrated about 50 kilometers inland before spending its fury. The devastation inflicted by the combined force of wind and water was enormous. Tens of thousands died, cattle perished in large numbers, scores of villages were wiped out, and an enormous number of coconut trees were uprooted. The survivors were confronted by disease, despair, and decimation. Bhagavan directed the Sevadal from Andhra to rush to the area. Truckload of clothes, rugs, and whatever could be gathered were speedily dispatched. 4 relief camps were set up. I personally saw massive provisions and materials being carried by devotees as headloads. They had to wade through slush and mire, through thick clouds of stench from rotting corpses and carcass. Indeed, the first task was to bury or burn these, which they found in heaps on the ground and even on trees and bushes. Kitchens worked round the clock in 4 strategic centers for over a month. Food was sent from there to several places, including remote ones. Besides this, the Sevadal helped to build the huts. They also gave away utensils, clothes, and drugs as part of rehabilitation. When the Seva activity finally came to a close, the volunteers were happy that the faces of the masses around them were bright with gratitude and devotion for Bhagavan.
That was Kasturi's recall of the service rendered following the Andhra cyclone many years ago.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. 11:40 a.m. and it's a warm day here at Prashant in Lila Mashram. Well, the temperature right now is about 36 degrees Celsius and the weather forecast says that the temperature will go to up to 41 degrees Celsius. And it's a typical summer day here at Prashant in Lila. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai and this is the segment Service Love in Action. And today as part of this segment, I am playing for you a radio presentation called Satyam Shivam Sundaram, which was broadcast on 2nd March the year 2002, marking the 100th day of Radio Sai Global Harmonies Broadcasting. So as you heard, dear listeners, in this presentation, Swami says that when we serve others, we should see God in the beneficiaries, God in the people whom we are serving. That's why Sai devotees call it as Narayana Seva instead of poor feeding. Well, when I was listening to this in the presentation that you heard just now, I was reminded of an incident which was narrated by Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram. So I would just like to tell that incident. Once, Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram got an interview with Swami. Swami called her inside interview room. It was a group interview. So there were many other devotees with her and Swami was talking to all of them. As Swami was speaking to somebody, there was a lady in that group and she, whenever she got a chance to talk to Swami, she used to tell Swami, "Swami, please come to our place, we are doing lot of seva." And Swami somehow used to ignore her and Swami used to talk to others. And again when she got a chance to Swami, again she used to say, it seems, "Swami, please come to our place, we are doing wonderful seva, or Samidhi is doing wonderful seva." And Swami went on ignoring her. But at one point, Swami looked at her straight and again she said, "Swami, please come to our place, we are doing wonderful seva there." Then Swami asked her, what type of seva you are doing? Then she said, Swami, many things, many, lot of seva, Swami, wonderful seva, nice seva to the poor people. Then Swami told her, see, you are taking 5 rupees rice and you are keeping aside 2 rupees rice for Narayan seva, isn't it? Then the lady said, no Swami, no, we are taking 5 rupees rice and we are giving same quality 5 rupees rice for Narayan seva also. Then Swami said, no, you are taking 5 rupees rice, but for Narayan seva you are keeping aside only 2 rupees rice. That's not good. Then the lady didn't agree for this. Then Swami became a little serious. He got up of his chair and went inside the interview room and brought a bag, red colored bag, and showed it to that lady. And Swami said, you remember, long back once, I had come to your place, I had come to your home in the disguise of a beggar, and you had given me this red colored bag, and it has got 2 rupees rice. And the lady was fully shocked. In fact, anybody can imagine her position there. So you see, dear listeners, it is Swami who is coming in the form of anyone to our house door, to our house, or in general, when we do seva, it is Swami who is receiving it. So we should do it with lot of respect. So such inspiring and thought-provoking facts are being told in this radio presentation, Satyam Shivam Sundaram. So right now you heard half of this presentation, and we will continue listening to it. But before that, let's take a small break and listen to a few beautiful Telugu songs on Swami.
దండాలయ్యా దండాలయ్యా కోటి దండాలు శత కోటి దండాలు అండ నుండి స్వామి వినీవని మాతొకటే చాలు నీ మాతొకటే చాలు దండాలయ్యా దండాలయ్యా కోటి దండాలు శత కోటి దండాలు అండ నుండి స్వామి వినీవని మాతొకటే చాలు నీ మాతొకటే చాలు మేడలొద్దు మిద్దేలొద్దు నీ నీడన ఉంటే చాలు ఆటలొద్దు పాటలొద్దు నీ మాట వింటే చాలు మేడలొద్దు మిద్దేలొద్దు
నీ నీడన ఉంటే చాలు, ఆటలొద్దు పాటలొద్దు నీ మాట వింటే చాలు, సిరులు వద్దు గిరులు వద్దు వరద హస్తం ఒకటే చాలు, సిరులు వద్దు గిరులు వద్దు వరద హస్తం ఒకటే చాలు, గెలుపు వద్దు ఓటమొద్దు చల్లనైన చూపే చాలు, దండాలయ్యా దండాలయ్యా కోటి దండాలు శతకోటి దండాలు, అండ నుండే స్వామి వినీవని మాటొకటే చాలు నీ మాటొకటే చాలు. జనులకై నీవు అవతరించినావంట, విన్న పాలనందుకొని పాలించే దొరవంట, దీనజనులకై నీవు అవతరించినావంట, విన్న పాలనందుకొని పాలించే దొరవంట, 87 గమాకై త్యాగమూర్తివై నిలిచి, 87 గమాకై త్యాగమూర్తివై నిలిచి, కన్నీరును పన్నీరుగా మార్చే మా దేవుడవంట, దండాలయ్యా దండాలయ్యా కోటి దండాలు శతకోటి దండాలు, అండ నుండే స్వామి వినీవని మాటొకటే చాలు నీ మాటొకటే చాలు, దండాలయ్యా దండాలయ్యా కోటి దండాలు శతకోటి దండాలు, అండ నుండే స్వామి వినీవని మాటొకటే చాలు నీ మాటొకటే చాలు.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
11:50 a.m. and it's a warm day here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. Well, this is a segment, Service, Love in Action, and in this segment we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. So as part of this segment today, I am playing for you a radio presentation which is entitled Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and which was broadcast on 2nd March the year 2002, marking the 100th day of Radio Sai Global Harmonies broadcasting. And this part is named Service to the Poor. So let's continue listening to this presentation, and the presentators of this program are our own Professor G. Venkatraman, sir, and Brother Ravi Kumar. So let's continue listening to it, and it, as you heard in the first half of this presentation, brings a lot of thought-provoking and take-home lessons on service to society. So let's listen to it.
Swami often says that man is a limb of society. Society is a limb of mankind. Mankind is a limb of nature, and nature is a limb of God. This is a hierarchical and organic relationship between man and God. If man forgets this, he can and does get into all kinds of problems, as in fact is presently happening.
Man today has completely forgotten that nature does not stand alone, but is the creation of God. Out of compassion, God has packed nature with innumerable bounties all for man to use and enjoy.
However, the use of these gifts must be within bounds and go hand in hand with the expression of gratitude to God. But alas, the use, or rather the exploitation of these bounties has become reckless, and there is no gratitude either.
Nature does not remain a silent spectator. Incredibly patient she is, but when aroused, her fury is unmatched. Using the law of reflection, reaction, resound, she punishes man by murderous tornadoes, terrifying typhoons, grim famines, deadly epidemics, harsh droughts, disastrous floods, fearsome avalanches, massive landslides, fiery volcanic eruptions, devastating earthquakes, and whatnot.
When disaster strikes, many perish. But curiously, those who suffer are the hapless ones. The evil ones appear to get away. This strikes many as inexplicable, but it is not so. It is the inescapable law of karma, operating in its own mysterious way. Those who are suffering now are paying for the past, and those who seem to get away now will pay for sure one day.
Meanwhile, what should one do when disaster strikes? There are some that say it's all God's will. Those who suffer are destined to do so. Let us leave them alone. This is an incredibly ridiculous argument. If it were taken seriously, there would be no room for any doctors.
Bhagavan Baba makes it very clear that we have no business to sit in judgment on others. Rather, we must rush to help. That is what the famous parable of the Good Samaritan teaches. And just so that we do not forget, Swami reiterates that lesson by his own personal example any number of times. His compassionate response at the time of the recent Gujarat earthquake is one example.
It was 8:45 a.m. on 26 January 2001, Republic Day in India. In Delhi, the nation's capital, there is an impressive parade in the morning at which the President of India takes the salute. Around the same time, parades and flag hoisting ceremonies are held all over India, particularly in schools.
In Gujarat, many children were marching to their schools at that hour. And then the earth shook fearsomely, as it has not for decades. Buildings crumbled, and in a few quick seconds, thousands were trapped under the debris, including school children on their way to parades.
Entire villages were wiped out just like that, in barely a few minutes. Death did not make any distinctions. The young, the old, the rich and the poor, all became equal before it.
As news trickled in from the disaster area, gloom descended over the nation. The cry of anguish reached even far-off lands, and help poured in. Baba was in Bangalore then, spending some time there after the inauguration of the big hospital in Whitefield.
People rushed to Swami to give the news about the disaster. He quietly listened. Of course, he knew much before anyone else when the disaster struck and also why. But he did not give any inkling of what he knew.
As soon as he returned to Prashanti Nilayam, he organized help and relief quietly and most unobtrusively in typical Sai fashion. Trucks were lined up, loaded with food and other relief items, and given a loving send-off with devotees singing bhajans and Swami personally blessing the convoy.
While several volunteers from Gujarat and the neighboring state of Maharashtra were already on duty at the distress spot, Baba added a sweet touch by specially sending some people from Prashanti Nilayam, including Mr. Chiranjeevi Rao, to go all the way to Gujarat to stay there for as many days as were required and supervise the distribution. In many ways, this was reminiscent of his sending Mr. Kasturi to supervise Seva during the Andhra cyclone of the 70s.
When there is a natural calamity, many rush to serve, but not all are fully aware of the way service must actually be rendered. This was quite evident in Gujarat.
For example, most service organizations crowded into cities, leaving many of the villagers severely alone. Swami's trucks went to such places that others generally did not bother about.
Further, with many of the so-called NGOs, non-governmental organizations, the people drafted for volunteer work had no previous experience in rendering service.
Among the quake victims, there was naturally a scramble for the items distributed, but the NGO volunteers often had little patience for dealing with such demanding situations.
From trucks, they often flung items into the crowd, causing much anguish to the recipients. For obvious reasons, it was quite different with Swami's Sevadal workers. Love was the basis for the service, and things went off smoothly. They selected a few specific villages and concentrated on doing intense service there.
For most volunteer organizations, service ended after the items had been distributed. With Swami, it was quite different. He had given instructions that these villages, which had been reduced to ghost towns, have to be rebuilt by Sai effort. That is the most wonderful and unusual part of the seva rendered in Gujarat.
In other words, with Sai, it is not just relief, but also rehabilitation. That is real concern, and that is real compassion. Long after other volunteers have returned to their respective bases, Sai volunteers are still in Gujarat, helping to restore normalcy.
The Gujarat earthquake taught many lessons. The first was a reminder that nature is not to be treated lightly.
In fact, in his discourse on the occasion of Shivaratri that followed the quake, Baba reminded devotees of this fact. Next, by his action, Swami also firmly refuted the flimsy excuse sometimes given for inaction, namely that people who suffer are destined to do so.
Swami made it abundantly clear that we are not here to analyze the law of karma, but to render service irrespective of the antecedents of the recipients of the service. That is what true love and compassion are all about.
Many people look upon service as something that must be regularly and routinely performed, like brushing the teeth, for example. This is totally incorrect.
Service must always be performed as an act of love. Not just that, it must also be performed, if possible, with long-term objectives in view.
Indeed. For example, when a doctor is treating a patient who is suffering from, say, oral cancer, he must not only treat but also educate the patient about the cause of oral cancer and what precautions the patient take in the future.
Similarly, when a teacher teaches in class, he must not merely focus on completing the prescribed syllabus, but equally, if not more, on character building.
Where service to the poor in the villages is concerned, Baba has recently taken a unique step that reminds one of the saying, "If you give a man fish, you give him food. But if you teach a man how to fish, you help him to take care of himself."
Bhagavan unfolded his new scheme in his divine discourse on Krishna Jayanti Day 2001. Let us hear his declaration.
But unfortunately,
we
have many orphans who are really suffering.
The
children should be brought.
We
have to build houses for them.
We
have to educate them. Bhagavan will that orphans should be made into ideal citizens of this country. About that, Bhagavan told to the district collector many times. They allotted land also. The foundation has to be laid and house construction
begin.
Bhagavan does not maintain any secrets.
నేను దోచుకునే స్వభావం కాదు.
He is not ready to grab.
నాదంతా బట్టబడింది.
Everything is open book of Swami.
కనుకనే పిల్లలు ఎవరైనా తల్లిదండ్రులు లేని పిల్లల్ని చిక్కితే తీసుకుంటారు.
If there are any orphans, bring them here.
వాళ్లకు చదువులు చెప్పించి
విల్ ఎడ్యుకేట్ దెమ్.
ఒకవేళ తండ్రి లేకుండా తల్లిగా ఉంటే
ఇఫ్ మదర్ ఈజ్ దేర్
ఆమె పేరుతో 1 లక్ష రూపాయలు ఫిక్స్డ్ డిపాజిట్ పెట్టి
విల్ డిపాజిట్ 1 లక్ష ఇన్ హర్ నేమ్.
ఆ వచ్చే వడ్డీ తోటల తల్లి జీవితాన్ని జరుపుకుంటూ
అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ద మదర్ కెన్ క్యారీ ఆన్ హర్
పిల్లవాడిని పోషించుకుంటూ రావచ్చు.
అండ్ కెన్ ఆల్సో టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ ద చైల్డ్.
ఈ విధమైన ప్లాన్ వేసి
దిస్ ఇస్ ద డివైన్ ప్లాన్.
నేను ఏది చేసినా కానీ గొప్ప ఆదర్శవంతమైన చేసుకుంటాను.
వాట్ ఎవర్ భగవాన్ డస్ ఈజ్ ఎ వెరీ హై ఐడియల్ ఫర్ ది హ్యూమానిటీ.
కనుక ఇప్పుడు నాకు కొన్ని శ్లోకాలు చదివారు.
The boy chanted,
Nagarjuna chairman.
And the chairman of Nagarjuna construction.
Ayana chepparu, "Illu kattinchali meeru tortoru gaani."
He said, "Better you construct houses now."
Nenu ready ga unnanu swami, meeru eppudu aagistaru nenu prayatnam chestanu.
The Raju said, "I am ready. The moment you command me, I'll do it."
Okka illu kattinchadamu.
Each house has to be undertaken.
ఆ తల్లిదండ్రులను పోషించుకోవటము.
The parents have to get there.
వారికి తగినటువంటి విద్యాభ్యాసం నేను ఇవ్వటము.
And Bhagavan will see the
వారు విద్యావంతులుగా మార్చాలి.
And see they are educated.
ఆ విద్యావంతుల లోపల వివేకవంతులుగా మార్చాలి.
They should have discrimination.
విద్యావంతులు ఎంతమంది ఉన్నారు కానీ అవివేకులుగా ఉంటున్నారు.
There are many educated people, but they are dunces.
కానీ విద్యలో వివేకం కావాలి.
Discrimination is necessary.
అట్టి వివేకాన్ని పెంచే నిమిత్తమై
దట్ డిస్క్రిషన్ ఇస్ నెసెసరీ.
నేను ఇంకా కంకణం కట్టుకున్నాను.
భగవాన్ డిటర్మిన్
ఎవరేమైనా అనుకోని.
లెట్ ఎనీబడీ సే
నౌ దట్ ఇస్ అమేజింగ్. హీ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బిల్డ్ ఎన్ ఎంటైర్ విలేజ్ టు గివ్ న్యూ లైఫ్ టు డెస్టిట్యూట్ మదర్స్ స్ట్రగ్లింగ్ టు బ్రింగ్ అప్ దియర్ చిల్డ్రన్.
వన్ హియర్స్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ టాక్ అబౌట్ అడాప్టింగ్ విలేజెస్ అండ్ సో ఫోర్త్. One does not know what is actually achieved in such projects. But Baba has shown how to go to the core of the problem.
Yes. Take a sprawling metropolitan city. There are so many around the world, literally teeming with millions. They are to be found in practically every continent. And without fail, almost all of them have huge problems with slums, etc.
In these cities also live many millionaires and even billionaires. They live in posh penthouses, travel in air-conditioned cars, dine in fancy restaurants, vacation in exotic places, etc., totally oblivious to the problems of thousands who live right next door to them.
Such people complain of rise in crime, mugging, extortion, kidnapping, etc., etc. If instead of this they pooled resources and set up decent habitats for slum dwellers, provided some training in skills leading to employment, etc., things would be very different.
In other words, while it is okay to start off with service on a small scale, one must always see things in a holistic and larger perspective.
Actually, one does not have to be a millionaire to do such work. To everyone is given the capacity to do things at his or her own level.
That is right. In fact, it is worth mentioning here that in many Sai centers, people with computer skills have joined together to impart computer literacy and basic computer skills to the underprivileged, dropout kids, etc. This kind of program has turned out to be a great success and widely welcomed too by the public.
Yes, the bottom line is concern. Concern for others. Swami, for example, delays morning darshan during the winter months because early darshan would bring out the devotees much before dawn when it is quite cold.
People think that the Vedantic concept of seeing the universal self in all beings is pretty abstruse and complicated. It is not.
It simply boils down to this. When others feel pain, I too feel the same pain. When others suffer, I too suffer in the same way. And when others are happy, I too am filled with joy. In other words, I do not see the other person or even being as different from myself.
That calls to my mind a saying of Baba, "The proper study of mankind is man."
You know, I have often heard Swami say that, but frankly, I don't understand it.
Yes, that saying is a bit of a googly, if I may use a cricket term. I too did not quite grasp the meaning for a long time, until I heard Swami himself explain what it is.
How about sharing that explanation with me and with all our listeners?
Certainly. You see, Swami said, consider the human body. It has so many organs. The organs do not claim any individual identity for themselves and keep aloof from each other. For example, say a man is walking in the forest. He steps on a thorn. Since he is walking barefoot, the thorn pierces the foot, causing pain. Immediately, other organs that can help rush to the aid. The eye focuses on the foot carefully, and the two hands try to pull out the thorn and give relief to the foot.
I understand all that, but what has it got to do with mankind?
Patience, please. I am coming to that. Swami says, in the same way, every person must feel that he or she is part of a whole and not a distinct or separate entity. If all people feel this way, mankind would be united.
So, what you're saying is that all must pull together in a spirit of cooperation, sinking differences, etc., etc.?
That's right. Mankind or humanity must take a lesson from the human system. The operating system that Lord God has installed there must be copied and applied to humanity as a whole. Mankind must feel and act like one organic unit, even as the human body is doing.
And I suppose God is not claiming any intellectual property right for His unique operating system?
Most certainly not. In fact, as Swami often says, He only gives and gives and gives. He is just giving all the time and never wants anything for Himself.
Yes, how wonderful our beloved Swami is.
Indeed, maybe we could sum it all up by saying that in His own way and through innumerable examples, Swami has taught and is continuing to teach all of us what service really means.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
A loving Sai Ram and greetings once again to all the listeners of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Well, the time is 12:10 p.m. and it's a warm afternoon here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. The temperature right now may be about 40 degrees Celsius. It's quite warm and hot here. Well, dear listeners, today in this segment, Service Love in Action, I played for you a radio presentation which was broadcast on 2nd of March in the year 2002, marking the 100th day of Radio Sai Global Harmony's broadcasting, and it was entitled Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And the presenters of this program were our own Professor G. Venkatraman and Brother Ravi Kumar. Well, this presentation, as you heard, brought a lot of facts and take-home lessons on service to society. Well, it is said, Paropakarartham Idam Shariram. That is, this very body, human body, is given to us to serve the society. In fact, dear listeners, we being in the society take a lot from society. So it becomes our duty to give back to society in the form of service. As in the presentation you heard, take the example of a tree. Tree receives sunlight from the above and nourishment from the ground below. It does receive a lot, but in turn it also gives. And in so many different ways, the tree gives fruit, it provides shade, it converts carbon dioxide into oxygen in the air, and in the end, it offers its entire self as food. The tree offers the food to the very person who stoned it. Wow, this is amazing. It is, the tree offers food to the very person who stoned it. So, tree is an example of being perfectly selfless. Just give and expect nothing. This is the attitude with which we should do seva. In fact, another beautiful insight that was told in this presentation is the difference between the service rendered by other NGOs and the service rendered by the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization. Take for example the flood that was occurred in Orissa a couple of years back, and that flood ravaged and devastated many houses in Orissa, and many people become homeless. So many NGOs came forward to render service. They gave a lot of food packets to the homeless and many other service activities, but they just came, did the service and went away. But the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization came to the site, did service, and they didn't stop there. Swami's Sai organization service is continued as rehabilitation. So as you all know, 1,000 houses were built for the homeless. So it's like, if you give a man fish, you give him food, but by teaching him fishing, you help him to take care of himself. Well, dear listeners, with that beautiful thought, let me conclude this segment. Well, the time is 12:15 right now, and in another 15 minutes, after 15 minutes, Brother Prem and Arvind will take the next segment of today's Thursday Life. Till then, let's listen to few devotional songs on Swami. I profusely thank Swami for giving me this opportunity to host this segment, and I place this segment at Swami's lotus feet, and I sign off for today. So, as I said, for next 15 minutes, we'll be listening to some devotional songs. After that, Brother Arvind and Prem will take over the much-awaited afternoon satsang. Jai Sai Ram.
Devadi Deva, Sri Sai Deva. Devadi Deva, Sri Sai Deva. Bhavala Nivasinchava, Swabhavala Prabhavinchava. Sevinchu Preminchu Sugunambu Maku. Sevinchu Preminchu Sugunambu Maku. దీవించి అందించవా, దీవించి అందించవా, పరిపాలించి నడిపించవా, పరిపాలించి నడిపించవా. మదిలోన తల చేతి కొలి చేతి వారు మధుర మధుర పదములతో పాడేటి వారు మదిలోన తల చేతి పొయ్యి చేతి వారు మధుర మధుర పదములతో పాడేటి వారు హృదయము నందు నిన్ను నింపేటి వారు హృదయము నందు నిన్ను నింపేటి వారు వందనీయులే సదా నీ దాసులైన వారు వందనీయులే సదా నీ దాసులైన వారు దేవాది దేవా శ్రీ సాయి దేవా దేవాది దేవా శ్రీ సాయి దేవా భావాల నివసించవా స్వభావాల ప్రభవించవా సేవించు ప్రేమించు సుగుణంబు మాకు సేవించు ప్రేమించు సుగుణంబు మాకు దీవించి అందించవా దీవించి అందించవా పరిపాలించి నడిపించవా పరిపాలించి నడిపించవా అమరులైన అందలేని ఆనందానుభూతి అమరులేని భక్తుల దెందములోని ఖ్యాతి అమరులైన అందలేని ఆనందానుభూతి అమరులేని భక్తుల దెందములోని ఖ్యాతి విమలంబు కలిగి నిన్ను సంతస పరిచేరీతి విమలంబు కలిగి నిన్ను సంతస పరిచేరీతి సమయంబు చూసి మాకు ఎత్తువయ్య ధర్మ నిరతి సమయంబు చూసి మాకు ఎత్తువయ్య ధర్మ నిరతి దేవాది దేవా శ్రీ సాయి దేవా దేవాది దేవా శ్రీ సాయి దేవా భావాల నివసించవా స్వభావాల ప్రభవించవా సేవించు ప్రేమించు సుగుణంబు మాకు సేవించు ప్రేమించు సుగుణంబు మాకు దీవించి అందించవా దీవించి అందించవా పరిపాలించి నడిపించవా పరిపాలించి నడిపించవా
కురిపించేది నీ పాదయుగళము పాపాలు తొలగించేది నీ అభయహస్తము, పుణ్యాలు కురిపించేది నీ పాదయుగళము, ధన్యతను సగేది నీ నామ మంత్రము, దీనులగాచేది నీ భక్తి మార్గము, ధన్యతను సగేది నీ నామ మంత్రము, దీనులగాచేది నీ భక్తి మార్గము. ఎంత మధురం, ఎంత మధురం నీ నామస్మరణం, ఎంత మధురం, ఎంత మధురం, ఎంత మధురం నీ నామస్మరణం, ఎంత మధురం. స్మరించే జన్మమే జన్మం, సాయిదిను కీర్తించే గానమే గానం, సాయిను స్మరించే జన్మమే జన్మం, సాయిను కీర్తించే గానమే గానం, సాయిను పూజించే జీవనం పునీతం, సాయిని సేవలోనే ఈ బతుకు ధన్యం, సాయిను పూజించే జీవనం పునీతం, సాయిని సేవలోనే ఈ బతుకు ధన్యం. ఎంత మధురం, ఎంత మధురం నీ నామస్మరణం, ఎంత మధురం, ఎంత మధురం, ఎంత మధురం నీ నామస్మరణం, ఎంత మధురం, ఎంత దివ్యం నీ రూపదర్శనం, అంత మోహనం అత్యంత పావనం. ఎంత మధురం, ఎంత మధురం నీ నామస్మరణం, ఎంత మధురం.
Thank you.
దాహలయ్య కోటి దండాలు శత కోటి దండాలు దండాలయ్య దండాలయ్య కోటి దండాలు శత కోటి దండాలు అండ నుండే స్వామి వినీవని మాతొకటే చాలు నీ మాతొకటే చాలు దండాలయ్యా దండాలయ్యా కోటి దండాలు శత కోటి దండాలు అండ నుండే స్వామి వినీవని మాతొకటే చాలు నీ మాతొకటే చాలు మేడలొద్దు నిద్దేలొద్దు నీ నీడన ఉంటే చాలు ఆటలొద్దు పాటలొద్దు నీ మాట వింటే చాలు మేడలొద్దు నిద్దేలొద్దు నీ నీడన ఉంటే చాలు ఆటలొద్దు పాటలొద్దు నీ మాట వింటే చాలు సిరులు వద్దు గిరులు వద్దు వరద హస్తం ఒకటే చాలు సిరులు వద్దు గిరులు వద్దు వరద హస్తం ఒకటే చాలు గెలుపు వద్దు ఓటమొద్దు చల్లనైన చూపే చాలు దండాలయ్యా దండాలయ్యా కోటి దండాలు శత కోటి దండాలు అండ నుండే స్వామి వినీవని మాటొకటే చాలు నీ మాటొకటే చాలు జనులకై నీవు అవతరించినావంట విన్న పాలనందుకొని పాలించే దొరవంట దీనజనులకై నీవు అవతరించినావంట విన్న పాలనందుకొని పాలించే దొరవంట ఎనభై ఏళ్ళుగా మాకై త్యాగమూర్తివై నిలిచి ఎనభై ఏళ్ళుగా మాకై త్యాగమూర్తివై నిలిచి కన్నీరును పన్నీరుగా మార్చే మా దేవుడవంట దండాలయ్య దండాలయ్య కోటి దండాలు శత కోటి దండాలు అండ నుండే స్వామి వినీవని మాటొకటే చాలు నీ మాటొకటే చాలు దండాలయ్యా దండాలయ్యా కోటి దండాలు శత కోటి దండాలు అండ నుండే స్వామి వినీవని మాటొకటే చాలు నీ మాటొకటే చాలు